Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me for 50 consecutive episodes is my good friend and my esteemed co-host, Kyle Krause.
I don't have a special title this week. I'm not something to your something else.
50 consecutive episodes, man. That right there is the badge of honor.
Oh, okay.
For once, I wasn't being goofy. For once, I was being all like heartfelt and respected. Respectful. Respectative.
Respectable?
Yes.
That's a word. That is a word that we shall take and own for ourselves. Copyright 2017 Bumblecast. Do not steal.
Bumblecast. We're respectable.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm excited because this is our 50th episode!
That is a good thing! We have done this 50 times! Can you believe that? 50
and
times!
People are still listening to us!
Isn't that... That's the weirdest part right there. I don't know, man. I don't know. What are you guys listening for?
Probably listening for all the goodies because this episode is loaded with them!
Okay, I thought it was for our bad jokes.
Well, that too. They're sick people, but they're my kind of people. They're my kind of sickness.
That's fine. They're good for both. They're good for us. Both of us. I'm good with that too.
So those of you who have been with us for the past 50 episodes will have noticed that main theme sure sounded a little different.
Indeed it did.
That's because that was the T-Lopes remix of the Bumblecast theme. Ooh, the man himself from Sonic Mania did the Bumblecast theme. Is that not just the coolest thing ever?
T-Lopes is a bad enough dude to rescue a president.
A president, a prime minister, and the Pope all before tea time.
Yes, he will do that. I'm sure he will. All before tea time. Oh, wait, I see what you did there?
Yeah, T-Lopes, it's tea time.
T-Lopes time. Perfect. That's his catchphrase theme song. You should put that at the beginning of every video he releases from now until the end of time.
Now, T-Lopes was super cool to do this for us, and we were going to make it a milestone gift thingy if we got 50 patrons, but Kyle and I were talking about it, and the patrons we've had for the past three seasons have been ludicrously cool, incredibly generous and faithful, and when the Sonic comics were announced as canceled, we had a flood of new patrons, which right there is a crazy amount of love.
That is excellent.
So we figured, why wait? We need to reward all these awesome people who were sticking with us and who came to us, you know, in the time of need. So patrons, you can find a download of the T-Lopes theme on the Patreon just for you.
Yes, we got this amazing theme song and we wanted to share it with you guys. So, and of course, we can't forget the original composer, Coda, who made a pretty freaking awesome song in his own right. But T-Lopes, man. That T-Lopes.
Oh, absolutely. Mega props for Coda for even letting us use his song.
Yeah. Yes. He's a very cool dude.
We've got another special announcement. In celebration of the Bumblecast continuing to grow, Bumblecast Gaming is also going to grow.
Grow? Make my Bumblecast grow!
We are now announcing Bumblecast Gaming on Twitch.
On Twitch.
On Twitch.
On Twitch. Wow.
Yes. How many times are we going to repeat that?
Twitch.tv/Bumblecast?
That's us.
Excellent.
Now, we don't have a set schedule yet because both of our lives are kind of up in the air. But we will be trying to stream at least three times a week. Patrons, please give us your feedback on what hours and days are best for you, and we can try to accommodate. Regular listeners and viewers, please give us your feedback as well. And regular patrons, don't worry, you're still getting Bumblecast Gaming live exclusively on Fridays. That is still your thing, just you guys and us.
Right, yeah, we're going to try and maybe do some special things, maybe do more of like use your words with the patrons and stuff like that. Like we did.
Right, gives you guys a little more involved.
Like we did before, so. Other cool things. We'll have to brainstorm on that. We'll come up with something, I think.
And also to celebrate, we're releasing 5 episodes of Bumblecast Gaming all in a row, just so you can, like, glut on all of our goofiness.
Yep, you can binge on them over the course of this entire week, every day, once a day. We'll be coming out with Bumblecast Gaming episodes just for you in celebration of 50 episodes.
So that's lots of Bumblecast good stuff, lots of Bumblecast Gaming good stuff. Another bit of good stuff is the Bumble Raffle.
We're giving away stuff, and it's going to you.
Now, normally, we give away one prize to one listener, and that could be anyone from the Patreon or anyone who writes in. Now, the patrons get automatically entered into every drawing, and everyone else has to write in to bumblecast@yahoo.com to enter in every episode they want to participate in. Everyone's got the same chances, but the patrons get that added perk of being entered automatically. This episode, though, this is episode 50. We got to do something special. So let's give out 5 Bumble Raffle prizes.
5?
5, let's do it.
5, 1 for every 10 episodes.
Exactly, because we don't really have 50 prizes to give away all at once. So 5 is a good number. It's still symbolic.
Yes, yes, yes. We can do it. We'll do it now. Let's do it now.
All right. This show's winners are...
Kyle P. Revan the Light. David C. Artendi M. And Daniel H.
Congratulations, everybody. We're going to be firing off those emails as soon as we can. And congratulations!
Yay! You want cool things. I guarantee you they're cool.
So, okay, that's a lot of cool stuff. What else? This is the 50th episode. We got to make it cool. I know. To celebrate, we shall do 50 questions all in a row. Let's go, Kyle.
We can't do that.
Why not, Kyle?
Our backlog is a little skimpy. We don't have 50 questions. It's almost run out. We were asking people to submit questions via email at bumblecast@yahoo.com, Twitter to IanFlynnBKC or KyleJCRB using the hashtag Bumblecast or on the Patreon page.
Right. So where are all the questions?
We're still getting them. We're getting them. They're coming in, but I don't think we have 50 yet.
Okay. Backup plan. Announcing the T-Lopes remix of the Bumblecast theme.
We did that already.
Right. Okay. Shoot. Give me a second. Let me make a call.
All right.
Hey, it's me. Listen, I'm in a little bit of a tight spot. Can you come down to the Pumpcast studio real quick for a guest spot? Yeah. Same usual payment. What was it like? 14 jalapeno chili dogs and a plate of generic brand oven baked pizza snacks, right? Sweet. Okay. So how long will it take? Yeah, we got a star post here. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, joining us for the 50th episode is the meme-making master of marketing himself, Aaron Weber!
Hi there, thanks for having me.
Thank you for helping us out celebrate our big anniversary episode.
Yeah, honored to be here.
Oh, please. Did you even know the show was here before I asked?
I mean, maybe not, but you're Ian Flynn, so, you know.
So... you, like me, and like a surprising number of other fans, are one of the few that, you know, turned pro over the years. For those who haven't heard, because I know you've been asked this a lot, what was your journey to go from, you know, our old Sonic GeoCity haunts back in the way begone 90s, and how did you get into the official position that you're in now?
Yeah, oh man, it's an interesting story. It's kind of long, so I'll give you the short version. It started kind of with the love of Sonic, right? And that love of Sonic led me to pick up a game one day called Phantasy Star Online. And the reason I picked it up is not because I love the game. I actually didn't really know much about the series, but it had a demo for a game called Sonic Adventure 2. And I really wanted to play that demo.
Well, of course.
So I bought the game, which is known as PSO or Phantasy Star Online. And it was later that I would get into it. And I eventually fell in love with that series so much that I played it for like 6-7 years of my life. At one point I was really active on the forums, the official Sega forums, and became a moderator. And through that got to know someone at Sega, and told them I wanted to apply someday, and they let me know about a job opening. And so I'd seen one up there and I'd applied for it and actually been rejected. They told me the spot was already closed, and they're like, we'll contact you later if a spot opens. at this point, I'm living in Missouri. I don't think anything's going to happen. I think they're just being nice and polite to me, right? Like, they're there, kid. And then they actually did reach back out and said, we have a position open. Would you like to apply? And I said, absolutely. And like a couple weeks later, they offered the job. I didn't know where I was going to live. I had no place to stay. But it was Sega. And, you know, right?
Well, it's only a small move from Missouri to California. It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's about at least 30 minutes away.
Sure.
Or, you know, more than 8 hours or something, you know. But it was probably one of the craziest decisions of my life, but also one of the best decisions in hindsight. And I think it's important to be willing to be a little crazy sometimes.
Now, speaking of crazy and making decisions, once you landed your dream job, you actually gave it up like a Roman emperor returning to the fields and committed yourself to giving back to the community. Is there anything you can talk about at length about that charity work that you did?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that I had really, you know, been struggling with the first, by about year six, with Sega the first time, it's sort of like you've done what you wanted to do. But the question I couldn't answer rather was that, you know, what is all my overtime add up to? What do all these, you know, these weekends I'm working, these holidays that I'm working through, like all this time, what does it add up to? And certainly I was getting to work with some really amazing people, and made so many great friendships because of it. And we helped bring a lot of games to market, like Hatsune Miku, that might not have come out, you know, without those crazy amounts of work from so many people. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I couldn't quite grapple with was the fact that it all kind of like came down to profit in the end, and kind of like, you know, it would make rich people more rich, but it didn't necessarily do a lot for the world at large in the way that I wanted to do it. And so I had been working on this game. This is kind of a little known fact, but I guess I'll bring it up now. So I run a guild of players online. I started back when I was like 13 or 14, and it was one of the bigger Phantasy Star guilds. Well, actually one of the biggest at one point. And that guild still exists, and we play different MMOs together in different games. And this is about the time we were playing this game called Spiral Knights, which was made by Sega and Three Rings. Great, great little game. And we decided we're going to make a fan game, and we were going to make the fan game, but do it all for charity. So we're going to just release it for free and let people donate to charity if they enjoyed the game. And that was kind of the concept. So I went, as soon as I had officially left Sega, we kind of wrapped everything up on that and put all of our time into it. And we released the game. In hindsight, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh man, there's so many things we would go back and change. You know, it's like if you're creative and you look at your old work, it's one of those things. But that was where a ton of my time went to afterwards. And then eventually that led into the next chapter, which was kind of taking stuff with charity and bringing that back to Sega with the return. But that comes later, I suppose.
Now, can you mention the game that you worked on? And folks, is it still available? Can you still, you know, put money towards its charitable outcome?
Oh, geez. I'll have to check and see if it's still up. It's been like 3 or 4 years now. It was called Jempire Story, which is J-E-M-P-I-R-E story. And I got to know a lot of great people because of it. Like, we were all just friends, but someone's a really good artist, someone's a really good musician, you know, and so we all kind of worked together on the project, and none of us knew much about game development. Anyone that's made fan games can tell you they're not as easy to make as you might think. and so we went through the whole, like, oh, the game's broken. Oh, let's fix it. Oh, we broke two more things. Okay, let's fix those, you know, and making a lot of custom assets and music tracks and the storyline and all that was fun. And it was my first time doing like hands-on, you know, working with scripting and all of that. So it might still be out there. It may not be anymore, but I'll see if I can maybe find a way to make it active again someday for anyone that wants to see our amateur attempt at it was an RPG, by the way. It was an RPG, so it was a lot of work.
Like anything on the internet, if it's embarrassing, you can find it if you know what to look for. It's still there.
Exactly.
Somewhere in the depths.
That's exactly right.
And I'm not going to tell folks what I'm thinking of specifically because I don't want them to Google it. Anyway, because we were all dumb kids in the fandom at one point. At least you did something for charity.
Oh, I'm sure I've got other stuff out there too. I may not be able to think of it, but I'm sure it exists. That's the joy of the internet, right? It's like, oh yeah, I did probably do that thing when I was like 15 years old, or you know, whatever. Who knows what it might be, but I'm sure it exists for everyone.
Now, since we've both worked with Sonic fans for a long time, there's a lot of interaction, and they are very, very passionate people.
Oh yeah,
very creative people, and they can just give you some of the neatest stuff. So, without naming names, without putting in anyone on a pedestal, yada yada yada, all this disclaimer stuff, what's like one of the best or neatest fan creations that has been given to you?
Oh man, there's so many. We got a poster in from a group of Sonic fans at one point in the past, and it was a poster that featured fan art from a lot of different artists, and I thought that was super cool. I mean, we received custom plushies from fans in the past, like a Sonic plushie or a Genesis plushie, or like all these really impressive things. Maybe one of the coolest ones actually just happened recently. It happened late July, and that was something involving a Sonic fan who was very young, like under 5 years old, and who was with Make-A-Wish, and had wanted to meet Sonic and brought these golden rings and gave us the golden rings for Sonic, and that was probably one of the more heartwarming moments. And Sonic was there to receive the rings too, so it was a really cool moment all around.
I'm sorry, I need to grab a tissue box and use it real quick. That's beautiful.
I know.
Oh, I was not prepared for that.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't intend for that to come up, but it's been so fresh in mind that I'm still like kind of reeling from it. It was quite a day. Yeah.
It reminds me of one of the pieces of fan mail I got years ago was a 3x5 card with just these mad green and red scribblings all over it. I'm like, ah, this is where they finally broke. All right. Let's see what the letter says. And the letter said, "This is from our daughter. She's 3 years old. She loves the comics. This is her first piece of fan art. We thought you
would." Aww. Oh, that's adorable.
I think that's the first time I've ever hugged a piece of paper.
We get so many amazing letters and pieces of fan art here. We got one today that was "Dear Sega, did you know that Sonic first showed up in Rad Mobile?" And also, like, it's just like going on this trivia, right? But it's so heartwarming because someone has taken the time out of their day to write these things, you know, and they want to send it to Sega. They want it to go to the people that work on Sonic, and that's like, we're so lucky, I think, to work with Sonic fans because they are so passionate, and there are only a handful of like series and franchises out there that have fans quite as passionate, you know, as like your Sonic and your Star Wars and that kind of stuff.
Well, I think part of that too is you've managed to build this excellent rapport within just the last couple of years with those fans. So my next question would be, how exactly does your marketing team work? As much as you can draw back the curtain, is it you have your underlings bring you ideas, or is there a round table where everyone tosses stuff out there? Do you and Sergio just kind of get drunk off of Jones Cola Sonic stuff and throw whatever out there and see if it sticks? I mean, what is your method?
Definitely the Jones Cola one.
I knew it all along.
So when I first went back to Sega, it was just me. And we had an agency that I could work with to get creative stuff done. But at the time, they were very much, you know, it's National Friends Day, we'll do a post for that. You know, it's national this and that. And so I kind of felt like the situation we had been forced into from the social media side was a little bit boring. And that's not to say that my predecessor was boring. It's rather that like the previous teams were so constrained, right? Because there were all these approvals they had to worry about and all the cool ideas that they had, and they certainly had them. Those ideas would often get shot down. I've mentioned this in other interviews, but that was the point where I had to kind of make the call of do I take these fun ideas to make the Sonic channels really enjoyable, entertaining? Do I take them to Japan and get half of them or probably more rejected, maybe all of them? or do I just do it and beg for forgiveness if things don't go well and potentially get fired? And so at that time, it was just me, and I just kind of went crazy and tried to keep it, you know, in line, but also on brand for Sonic's attitude, right? He's kind of sassy sometimes. Sure. And so it started working really well. And that's as it continued to do really well. And suddenly we jumped like 20% of the followers we had. You know, we were like 130,000. Now we're at 160 or 170. And I'm like, whoa, this was in just a couple of weeks. What's happening? As the growth started happening, I brought in the agency to help me out too. And I said, this is the new strategy. Let's all work together for this. And when Sergio came on board last year, he pretty much knew already. Like he knew the channels. And so nowadays, Sergio and I work together, and we also work with our current agency as we kind of like put together these fun ideas. We spend a lot more time on this stuff than people might think, because we're like, you know, that meme's too old, or no, it's not, you know, it's not the right fit. Sometimes we'll go through like 15 or 20 different takes on the copy that we put with a post before we find one that we're like, yeah, there it is. That's the one, you know. So that's a little peek behind the curtain, and really it's left up to our team. You know, if people needed to, they could jump in and tell us, hey, please don't do that, or you know, blah blah blah. But for the most part, they give us a lot of autonomy, and we're very appreciative for that trust.
And I think one of the crown jewels of that entire thing were the Eggman and Sonic audio duels over on Twitter.
Yes,
especially with the takeovers. What's his name? Enzo, Ezio, whatever.
Yes.
Were those all pre-planned, or were some of those on the fly, or how did you make that magic happen?
Those are super fun. So the only thing that was pre-planned was that we're like, we're going to have Roger, and we're going to have, you know, later it was Mike first. Then we're going to have Roger and Mike in a room, and that's it. And so the only ones that we pre-record are like the, hey, we're doing this thing, tweet at us. And then everything else that we would do, we would just kind of do on a whim. And we would – so typically our team, our creative team, which is mostly like Sergio and I, we'd be in that room. We would come up with what we wanted them to say, and then they would go record it, and then we would pump it out. We would do the writing and the recording within about 10, 15 minutes. And then the editing would take a bit, and then we'd put it out like, you know, 40 minutes or an hour later. But it was all happening like so fast. I'm snapping my fingers right now. I don't know if it's picking that up, but
we're hearing it.
Yeah, it was constant. And, but it was so much fun to do that because we got to put, you know, live answers up for people with the voice of Sonic and Eggman. And we had never done that before. And a lot of game franchises never done anything like this. So we had such a fun time doing all that.
And that was the answer I was hoping for. I was expecting, no, this was all pre-planned. It was very meticulous. Everything had to be approved. But the fact that it was improv just makes me happy.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's total improv. And it wouldn't be the same if it was different. You know, if it was planned, you wouldn't get the same reactions. Because, you know, here's Donnie from TSSZ, and we get to do a Shut Up Donnie thing with both, you know, Mike and Roger. Or, you know, here's Kobe or, like, all these other people from the Sonic community tweeting us. And we're like, all right, let's... you know, let's give these guys a shout out. The only thing I wish we could have done more of is to just keep going and to give even more responses to people. But eventually we get to the end of the day and it's like, all right, we gotta wrap up. But especially with the other brands too, some of them were pretty fun, like Assassin's Creed, as you mentioned at the start.
That and having done a little bit of audio work myself, I know how freaking brutal it is to just pump out that much copy that fast right out of the day. So hats off to you guys. That's incredibly impressive just on a technical standard.
Yeah, thank you. No, we had a good time putting it together, too. It was fun all around.
All right, so when this episode airs, Sonic Mania will be out. Hopefully I will have received my collector's edition and not been completely spoiled by the internet. Once it is complete, are you going to party like it's 1993, or are you going to enter the Aaron sleep and recharge until you rise again to the next visit to Valhalla?
Probably a little bit of both, though the year maybe more like 95 or so, because I think that's like the tech area that Mania kind of falls into is right about the Sega Saturn timing.
Okay.
We're at the time that we are recording this, we're still getting ready for the launch, and we're like, ooh, here we go. I just flew back from San Francisco this morning. We were out there doing preview tours. Now we're back in LA, and then like traveling again on Thursday. So it's like, it's back to back and there's so much going on. We're working on the launch trailer right now. And by the time that this goes live, everyone will have seen that launch trailer. And I really hope they will like it because it's the first trailer I have worked on for over 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And when I say that, you're like, what? Six? What? How? And people will know when they see it why. It's not the gameplay. It's not the editing. But there's something in there that took a lot of time to work on and create, and that is the animation that they see in there. And we worked so closely with Tyson Hess and with Hyper Potions to make that happen. It's the same animation that's actually inside the game as well as the opening. So hope they enjoy it, and we're really hoping the Sonic fans explode with glee whenever they see what we've got prepared for them in that trailer and in the game.
I'm fit to burst right now. And just a quick aside, is Tyson Hess not just a freaking amazing individual?
He's so cool. Tyson is awesome. Tyson's one of my favorite people because he is not only is he super talented, but he is also so dedicated to something. And if he's like, I will get this done, then he 110% does it. And it's never just what you expect. It's always more. And that's what I really love about Tyson and all of the work that he's done, you know, in the past too. I could go on at length. It's all great.
Two more quick questions. Number one, what is the most obscure, nerdiest, hardest to find bit of Sonic memorabilia that you've got squirreled away?
Well, I have one of the Sonic plushes from Japan that I think was one of the very first plush ever made. A really amazing guy called Adam Tuff, also known as T-Bird, gave it to me years ago. Adam's a great guy. And he gave it to me, I think, at one of our Sonic Boom events, maybe the very first one, in fact, here in Los Angeles in 2011. So I think that's probably one of the rarest things. No, okay, I take it back. The rarest thing I have is a Sonic 10th anniversary statue, and it has been signed by Shinobu Toyota, Madeline Schroeder, Al Nielsen, and Tom Kalinske, which are pretty much they are some of the key figures from the old Sega of America team that made the Sega Genesis such a big success and are indirectly, you know, the reason so many of us love Sonic, the reason I would later go to Sega. So they're kind of like my old SOA heroes, and they all signed a 10th anniversary statue, and I've got that at my place.
Wow. Unrelated, do you leave your windows unlocked, and where is that stashed?
Bars on the windows, and it's within the chest full of spikes and alarms.
Okay, good to know, good to know. moving on.
Yep.
Mania aside, since we know that's just going to be absolutely perfect, what is your favorite classic era Sonic game?
Sonic 3 and Knuckles. Easy.
Just that is the correct answer, ladies and gentlemen. This is why this man is where he is today.
Yep. Easy Sonic 3 and Knuckles. And I love the fact that Mania is comparable in size to the sheer like length of Sonic 3 and Knuckles, because that it's a good length. It's not short. It's just long enough that you're ready when you get to the end, you're like, all right, that was an experience, you know? But oh man, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, I would replay it again and again. My little brother would play as Tails. Mm. And you can do that in Mania 2, by the way, which I love. So that just the whole experience when mom would be like, all right, you know, let your little brother play, and we only had a few hours. Man, that game every time. Except for the barrel. I hate the barrel. I hated the barrel as a kid. Oh my gosh. Carnival Night Zone, man. Whoa.
There's an issue of Sonic Universe that if you can track it down, Team Dark goes to Angel Island, and there's this montage sequence of them going through the zones. And I specifically plotted out the one panel, and Omega is blowing the barrel into itty-bitty bits.
Yes.
That is for you. That is for everyone who grew up knowing its terror.
That is fantastic. That I think that barrel cost us. I mean, the first time we ever played Sonic 3, that barrel was the result of like six time overs and then a game over as a result, right? We're like, what is this? You know, we were so young, we didn't know. Push up and down. Oh, that's easy.
Well, it's because there's nothing else in the game that does that.
Yeah, it's such a random moment. And when you figure it out, you're like, okay, but we were like thinking, well, it's time for physics, so let's jump and then jump off and then jump at the lowest, you know, point and get it pushed down even further. Like, it was tough. We made it work, but it was tough.
Up and down, willing it to go up and down, but that's really what's working, but you don't realize that. But then you get to Doom's zone, and that makes it all worth it.
Oh, man. The ending to Sonic 3 and Knuckles was one of my favorite parts, you know, seeing, like, Hypersonic and And the special transformations for Tails and Knuckles, also super cool.
I honestly felt guilty as Hyper Tails just standing there and letting the flickies just beat Knuckles into the floor. It was...
those flickies are tough, boy, man.
It was right there.
Those are the best flickies. I was like, oh, they've come from the ship at the end, and they're angry. They've had enough, you know, and to town they go.
All right, well, you are a busy man. Even if Manny is done, you've got Sonic Forces on the horizon, and that's looking like it's going to be incredible. So I will let you go. Thank you again so much for coming on the show and helping us out.
Thanks again so much for having me here. It was a pleasure. And thanks to all the listeners out there that maybe have supported Sonic Mania already or have supported Sonic throughout the years, because it wouldn't be what it is without, you know, all of those fans and, of course, all the talented people, you know, like yourself, Ian, like Tyson, like everyone else, right, that also works on it professionally. So nothing but thanks and a lot of love to all of you guys.
You just kind of came here out of a whim. Do you need me to call you a cab or something?
Actually, you know what? I've got it right here. No, it's all good. Chaos Control.
Huh. How do you like that, Kyle? It wasn't his speed, but he used a Chaos Emerald to warp.
Wow. Man, that's amazing. He has access to all sorts of really cool stuff, being Aaron Webber and all.
This is true. All right, so thank you, Aaron Webber, one more time. And do we have any Q&A for this show?
Oh, we got Q&A, man. Just because we don't have 50 Q&A, but we do have a pretty big amount. We have a double-sized Q&A coming at you on this segment. We have 12 questions instead of our usual 6. Holy crap.
Goodness.
Yes. So, of course, you can ask questions by emailing us, like I said earlier, at bumblecast@yahoo.com, via Twitter using the hashtag bumblecast, either at IanFlynnBKC or at KyleJCRB or at both of us. Or you can leave us a comment or a message over on Patreon for the Patreon supporters.
And if you tweet the question to us, please use hashtag bumblecast. Otherwise, we get lost in all the replies and chatter on Twitter.
That's cool. But, I mean, maybe they don't know about Bumblecast. So, but maybe they're just asking you a question. I don't know.
All right, so let's do the priority Q&A.
All right. This first one comes from Connell T. While looking at the muddled translation and story of Mega Man X6, how would you assume Zero came back from hiding himself so he could repair himself?
Oh, goodness. One of the things I would love to do would be to untangle the knot that is the X continuity. which is not going to go over well with somebody somewhere at some point, I'm sure, because everybody's tried to make their own headcanon of it all. I think it would depend entirely on how I approached the X5 story, and then how we got through 6, and then how to start in 7. I don't have a solid answer off the top of my head, because I feel like I really need to sit down and look at the whole thing and see how it would be best to either hand wave a few things, revise a few things, or even put in little hints potentially towards Mega Man Zero. Like, maybe that was a copy and that's where Omega gets the original body, but that doesn't make any sense, so no, never mind. It's a Mega Man X, what can I say?
Yeah, Mega Man X continuity. You might as well, like, try to solve the question of, like, I don't know, curing some uncurable disease. Because that will probably be easier than trying to figure out Mega Man X's anything, really.
So I don't have a definitive answer on that, but I would definitely be putting a lot of thought and care into crafting it if I get the chance. Fingers crossed. Please let it happen.
Yes. Although, you could just be like, yeah, Mega Man X, anything after Mega Man X5 just didn't happen. that would probably go over too well. Or you could just skip over. You could just do what they did and skip over everything and go to Command Mission 100 years later, which then conflicts with Mega Man Zero. But we'll ignore that.
Well, that and it was my understanding that Command Mission was a separate continuity. It was
I think it technically was.
Which is too bad, because I like Hollow Scarf X. That's a cool look.
Yeah, I like I like a lot of the characters in Command Mission. They're some really cool characters in there. But alas, next one comes from Krizay. Is there any chance for all the Archie Sonic characters to come back into the comics since IDW took control of the comics?
I have no idea. That is entirely up to one, Sega, two, IDW, and three, Archie. There are legal concerns, there's business concerns, there's stuff that I can't even begin to guess at. So, I don't know. I mean, it could be that somebody does want it and somebody else doesn't want it and therefore gets vetoed. It could be that there's an outside force blocking it. It could be that nobody wants it. I don't know. There's no way of telling.
All right. Well, I guess just hope for the best. But be prepared. Might get some new characters. Hey, new characters are fun. I like new characters. Sure. This next question comes from our good buddy, Mike B. How much effort do you and Aaliyah put into making the characters feel empathetic/organic normally? And how much effort do you both put in when the characters experience more fantastical elements, actions, or events that we would otherwise not be able to relate to?
Oh, that's a big one. I guess it comes down to, in a nutshell, writing the characters in a way that feels real to them and real to the world that they're in. And that comes from understanding who those characters are, what their world is, and how they interact with one another. I know Aaliyah and I have spent a great deal of effort brainstorming and talking and revising and figuring out just quite how things work or how they wouldn't work. In terms of fantastical elements, part of that depends on just how fantastic they are within the realm of the world. Like, in Sonic's case, you've got these magic gemstones that turn him gold and can do incredible things. They can, you know, turn wishes into real things. They're somewhat legendary, but they're a standard object of the world. They have been proven to exist. So that kind of sets the bar. Beings within that world would understand that magic is real and not really be taken off guard by it. Whether or not they believe in magic or believe magic is a form of science that just hasn't been fully understood yet, regardless, they are comfortable with the idea of there are Chaos Emeralds and they just do stuff. To a degree, it's a suspension of disbelief as well, because the crazy environments and larger-than-life moments that happen in the comics and in the games are something we can't really think of in a realistic sense. But we are engaged in the story, so we just kind of accept it as we go along. And as long as the characters within the story react to these events in ways that seem plausible, or at least digestible to the reader, then it goes from there. I'm sure you could get a much deeper question or understanding out of it, really dig your claws into it, and it becomes a much larger question about narrative writing and the concept of creating a fictional universe and blah, 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 blah. But for the sake of the time on the show, I think that just about covers it.
All right, next question comes from Mike B. Were the post-Unleashed arc issues designed to be easily picked up by a new publisher?
Absolutely not, and there would be no reason to think so. Something to keep in mind, which I've said repeatedly on the forum, on the show, elsewhere, the comics were written around 6 months ahead of whatever was being published.
Right.
So, and because of Diamond Distribution's stranglehold on the industry, solicitations for issues have to be submitted, I think it's at least 3 months in advance.
Yeah.
And pulling solicitations takes a lot of time, effort, and money. So the fact that we had solicitations coming out for the book after it got yoinked means nothing about the development process.
Right.
I mean, I was working steadily towards Sonic 300 and Universe 100 until I got the call. And then it was like, oh, well, okay, And things sat and sat, and, you know, people deliberated and lawyers talked and whatever business stuff went on. And then we all found out that it was done. So that's it. There's no greater behind the scenes conspiracy. There was no contingency plan. It was, haha, I have plans. And then life was like, no, you don't. And it's like, okay, life, whatever you say.
No. Life gets in the way of everything. It's really annoying.
You think I'd be used to this by now?
It's really annoying. Well, yeah, I know, especially since you're a freelancer. Just be like, I don't know. It's just the thing that happens every week. I don't know what happens. All right. Well, that's it for our priority questions this week. Let's get into some standard Q&A questions. First one comes from good old Boosalarian Theme. Will we see some more lighthearted or silly stories or darkly humorous stories like in Judge Dredd, where serious topics have a ridiculous veneer to them?
Having not really read any Judge Dredd, I'm going to say that reference went over my head, going to be completely honest.
Have you seen the movie?
I have not seen the movies.
Okay. Well, the one from the 90s is, like, just not even darkly humorous. It's just silly. And the new one, it's not bad.
I heard it was fun.
It's pretty dark, but, I mean, it's Judge Dredd. And it's not bad, but I don't know if a story in that sort of line would work for the properties you are normally associated with. So, but
I'm wondering if it's more of a reference to that Sin City spoof they did back in the day.
On the Sonic comic?
Yeah.
What issue was that?
Oh, shoot. It was one of the super specials. It was done all black and white. And
Yeah, I remember that. Okay. It was kind of like a noir kind of style.
No, that was issue 52.
Okay. That was the one I was thinking of. I'm not sure.
No, the one I'm referencing was actually called Spin City. And
then it gets sued by ABC.
it was an interesting story. Anyway, to the question, what I had planned after the Genesis of a Hero arc was some more individual stories that were definitely maybe lighter in tone, but still kind of moved the story forward. And then it would have been a big climactic, you know, issue 300 thing.
Yeah. So like the calm before the storm.
Yeah. Just some nice light reading because folks were getting a little tired of the Shattered World arc going for as long as it did. So I figured let's do some smaller stuff, light, you know, cleanse the palate a little.
Well, it's like Sonic Unleashed. It goes on way too long. Oh, wait. Am I not supposed to say that?
It wasn't as bad as people made it at. It's got its problems, but it was the first step in the right direction.
Sonic Unleashed? Yeah, it's got its problems, all right.
You sound slightly bitter.
I don't know, man. I like, gave up on it, like... I played it like twice and it just never picked it back up. I probably should give it more of a chance, but the Werehog stages are just such a freaking,
yeah,
they're a freaking drag. I would much prefer it was like, even if it was just like Knuckles instead and a jazz band didn't start cranking up every single time he got into a battle. Or maybe if it were I'd be fine with a jazz band, but maybe if it were a different song, like that rotated songs every once in a while instead of playing the same one.
It's especially sad because the nighttime stage themes are really mellow.
They're really
cool
good
tracks.
They're really good songs, and then all of a sudden, this giant jazz band just exactly. And it's
ding dong, whack whack whack, ding dong.
It's a fun song. It's not a terrible song, but man, just hearing that opening, that like first 30 seconds of it every time you freaking come upon an enemy is like, ah. Anyway, let's move on with Q&A, shall we? We got one from Da Big RG. Was that command center Rouge and Relic operated from in the games?
No.
How do you know?
because I played them rather extensively.
How do you know?
I know these things, Kyle. I have seen into the Hedgeverse. I know.
You don't know what's in the games that's not in the games.
Is this kind of like Schrodinger's logic? If I think about it too hard, it falls one way or the other?
Well, I mean, think about it. The games take place in specific areas. They have specific levels. Think about all the places you never go that are in Sonic's world in the games. So it could literally be from the games. We just never saw it.
Okay.
I don't know where I'm going with this, by the way. It just came to me and I thought it would be funny. Is it funny?
Oh, it's funny.
Okay, good. I'm glad to have your approval. Next one comes from FairGuy07. Still trying to get my own stories / work off the ground. Any advice?
Oh, boy. Perseverance is a big one. I've been in this industry for 10 years now. The amount of positive feedback and support I have from perfect strangers online can be overwhelming at times. And with the project I'm working on now, Drogoon and Academics, I am terrified of putting it out there because it's like, is it going to be good enough? And that can be petrifying. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to sit down and work because you're like, is this even going to be good enough to show other people? So what you need to do is be firm with yourself. Set a schedule if you have to. Sit down, get it done. Sit down, revise it. Don't do it all in one fell swoop. You'll burn yourself out. You know, set it so that today you do just the pre-writing. Today you just get the draft done. Tomorrow you sit down and you revise, or you get the next bit down so that it's when you go back to revise the first part, it's not overly fresh in your mind and you miss issues. And don't give up on it. It's very easy to say, well, I've fallen so far behind on my personal schedule or the benchmarks I've set for myself. What's the point anymore? And you can't give up on it. If you really want it out there, get to it, get it done. The biggest hurdle is to get past yourself and just do it.
Yeah, I have that problem.
I know. It sounds like it shouldn't be that simple, but it really is on a lot of cases. Just do it.
Mm-hmm. And hey, make it your like job that you depend on to eat and like have a house. And that makes it probably a little bit easier to actually get it done.
No, that just adds an extra layer of terror to it.
Well, I understand that. But I'm also thinking like, okay, well, it's a little bit of extra motivation.
Well, think of it this way.
I mean,
instead of the extra motivation of getting it done, it's like that giant boulder in Indiana Jones rolling towards you.
Right, yeah.
If you don't run fast enough, you're going to get squished.
Okay, maybe don't think about it like that then. All right, forget me. I have bad advice. Listen to Ian. He's the guy with good advice. This next one comes from Graveheart. Which is a great name, actually. I like that
name. That is as metal as it gets.
I like that name. Graveheart. That's metal as F.
Graveheart.
Quick question. Who owns the Mega Man characters created for the comic, Quake Woman, etc.? You, Archie Capcom, or someone else?
My understanding is it's Capcom. Now, I am not a lawyer. I can't vouch for that with 100% certainty. But from my understanding, if Capcom wants to use them, they can.
Okay, good. So my dream of a Quake Woman game is still a possibility. Minute possibility, but a possibility nonetheless.
A fringe dream, but a dream all the same.
That's a good dream. You gotta have dreams, you know? So, there you go. Next one comes from Rimalogo the Derp. Speaking of great names, my question is, if we aren't able to see the rest of the E-100 series robots, then what do they look like?
I don't know. I didn't get to them yet. I mean, they all would share the theme of having a very similar chassis to Gamma, But aside from that, I don't know. Depend on whatever gimmick or theme I gave them.
Gamma palette swaps of all 16 million colors.
No. I tried to have a little more variety than that. I made one a jaguar.
Okay.
I made three of them Anata, Scratch, Coconuts, and Grounder.
Okay, I do remember that.
There was a big UFO one.
Okay. I'm having a hard time remembering all of them, actually, but that's pretty normal.
There was the one with the big old piston spike arms. That was pretty cool.
I was joking, by the way. We don't do palette swaps in this show.
I can't remember the rest. Were there any more? I don't think so.
I don't know. There were the ones in Sonic Adventure.
Right. And, which one was it? Ada that I had? That was more based on Delta and Epsilon? Oh, it's been a while since I looked at my E100s.
All right, next question comes from OG Modern Sonic, or OG Modern Sonic. I don't know which. Please tell me you are writing the story for Sonic Forces.
Okay, I've been getting this one a lot and ignoring it for a reason.
Uh-huh.
Because if I were working on the game,
you couldn't say.
I would have signed a non-disclosure agreement that would bar me from saying anything about the game.
Right.
However, if I wasn't working on it, and there was still a chance that I could have worked on it, saying, no, I haven't worked on it, and then if I got on, would make me a liar, and I don't want to be a liar. So how about we just wait till the game comes out and see if I'm in it or not, instead of putting me in a very awkward position.
This next question comes from Omega Marcus 99. What happened to Jeffrey in 30 years later? Did he live a happy life?
Oh, I don't know. I never got around to Jeffrey. Well, we know he didn't live a happy life. We saw what happened to him in the modern age.
No, he did not live. I don't know if he's ever really lived a happy life. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
And I don't know if a happy ending really suits his type of character.
No.
It's kind of like saying having James Bond ride off into the sunset. It doesn't feel satisfying.
Well, he did it at the end of a lot of the early movies, so. But at the same time, we knew he was coming back and it was going to be still kind of rough.
I'd like to think that he found peace with what he had done and who he was. Made amends with folks as best he could, and moved on with his life. Whether it was continuing as a secret agent or just going off the grid and living quietly, I don't know. It's well out of my hands at this point.
All right, and this next question comes from Celestia Ubatilia. I'm just curious, what are the chances of the Sonic comics getting animated, if it ever is one?
I would say slim to none. Mostly because there is a specific vision for Sonic, and whatever that vision is what they want to promote. The old Archie comics were a mishmash of Adventures of and Sat AM and inklings of the OAV and Sonic X and all this other stuff, little nods here and there. It's this big melting pot of old Sonic spinoff material that are not necessarily representative of the present incarnation of the franchise.
Right.
So unless the thinking behind how they want to market Sonic comes completely 180, don't see it ever happening.
All right. And finally, a last question for this ginormous Q&A fest on the 50th episode. It comes from Robert C. Hey man, I'm a big fan and I have a question. Does Rouge loves Shadow?
I don't know. The implications seem to be that she has some degree of affection for him, but that could just be a deep friendship.
Sure.
It's a question of whether or not Rouge could actually settle down and, you know, truly fall for someone. She seems a little too self-serving for that.
She gets a little flirty with everybody, though, so I don't know.
A bit.
I don't know. It's just how she is.
And Shadow certainly wouldn't reciprocate because he's too busy brooding.
This is how she is. She's like Catwoman, I guess. Kinda.
I guess to a degree, yeah.
Not Batwoman. Batwoman's a completely different character, but, I mean, you know. Yes. Does Rouge loves Shadow? The truth come out! That would be, that's a fairly obscure reference. Props to anybody if they get that. Anyway, that's right. Going to do it for this Q&A Fest.
Yep, and that's going to do it for episode 50 of the Bumblecast. Before we sign off for the night, we are going to give a big shout out to all the patrons who made this show possible. You guys are the reason we are here for episode 50. Thank you so much. Shout out to Daniel H., Zephyr Flame, Artindy M., Chris A., Damo, John B., Sam Cybercat, Mike B., Connell T., Samuel P., Justin G., Jennifer R., David C., Revan the Light, Diane W., Today's Passenger, Scruffy Matt, Lee H., James G., Chevelle, Dawn B., Clifton H., Sin Fritz, Frogman, Candelicious Cartoons, John M., Eshevarovich 9X, Alex P., James K., and Ron.
Just good old Ron. He's Whew. Ron, but not forgotten.
I'm also, not laughing at you, Ron. I'm just a sucker for bad puns.
By the way, where that list is starting to get so long, we may have to like start trading off on it.
That would be super cool if we had to do that.
Yeah, me and you go back and forth with it for a couple names because it's so freaking long. Because it's getting tiring for you to read just from what I'm hearing.
Well, I'm also playing it up a bit for the sake of, you know, we've got a big list.
Well, yes, it's true. Okay, well, where can people find and listen and hear all the awesome things you're doing, Ian?
Head over to BumbleKing.com. That's Bumble like the bee, King like the reigning monarch. Or find me at Twitter at IanFlynnBKC. That's where you can get all your Ian goodness news stuff. What about you, Kyle? Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at KyleJCRB. Or you can head on over to KNGI.org. It's the home of this show where you can find archived episodes of Bumblecast. All 50 of them will be up there for your downloading and listening pleasure. Or you can also find my other show, Nitro Game Injection, which also streams live every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time over at the 8BitX Radio Network at 8BitX.com.
That's going to wrap it up for episode 50 of the Bumblecast. We'll see you patrons over for Bumblecast Gaming Live. Everybody, we'll see you on Twitch whenever we can get on there. And we'll see you for hopefully another 50 episodes.
Yes. Twitch.tv/Bumblecast is where you can go. You should go there. Like now, maybe. Maybe watch Twitter. That's a good reason to follow us on Twitter because we'll announce when we're streaming.
Exactly.
Perfect. Excellent. I did it, Ian. What do you think?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay, great. That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad this episode 50 has gone very, very well.
Absolutely no editing will be needed.
None. Zero. You won't be. There are no outtakes at the end of this episode whatsoever.
No,
there's
of course
nothing.
Not.
We were so professional and so perfect on this episode that there was nothing. Like, absolutely nothing that you will hear. That's just how.
Good night, everybody!
That's how good we are. We're that good. We're so good.
I like how we get more energized by the end of the episode.
Ending a show is hard. You can start a show, it's real easy, but when you end it, I don't know, man. I just don't know. It's like, okay, what do we do now?
One last shot getting the headphones to actually do stereo.
Have you considered slamming them against the nearest solid object?
No, because the whole thing was I accidentally stepped on them and broke them. I don't think it's going to fix.
Step on them again. Maybe it'll unbreak.
Well, it at least got the left headphone sounding a lot clearer.
Okay, that's an improvement.
All right, we'll just run with this.
We need more Bumble. We need more Patreon support so we can get you some decent fucking equipment.
Yeah, wouldn't that be lovely? Hi there, and thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you liked our show, be sure to hit the subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans on how to make the show even better. Also, rate and review our show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music composed by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay what you want download.
Uh-oh. You there, Ian? If you're there, you might want to stop talking, because you are cutting out. I don't hear you. You are dead. You are dead, dead, dead. You are dead, dead, dead. There's another obscure reference for you guys. You cut out. I'm assuming your interwebs died. Ian, come back. Baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. Ian, no. Shoot. Poop. Oh, it says he's still here. Okay. Your head explode. Oh, I can't hear you. I can't hear a word you're saying. You heard everything I was saying? Man, that's weird.
Hello.
Yellow. You're there.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay. That was weird.
I was singing songs at you.
Oh, I heard everything.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Because that's all going in at the end of the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yes.